so great to see you adults. We don't just love the children, we love the adults as well. And if you're new this morning, it's so great to have you with us. This is going to be a launch day, not the kind of launch day we were expecting. But actually, we see September, and kind of have done really since the start of church, we've seen September as a change of season. I know it is naturally, the trees are starting to change colour, and there's a different, you know, the kids are going back to school. There's just that feel in the air, isn't there, of a new season. And as it is in the natural, we kind of sense it is in the spirit. And actually, what we believe happens in September is it's kind of like a change of gear. And you know, when you change gear, you can accelerate and move faster. You know, you move forward quicker, can't you? And that is what this change of season, it's all about. It's so that we can really accelerate, move forward quicker into the will of God. That's for you personally and for us all together as a body. But, you know, typically we have an enemy, don't we? We don't battle against flesh and blood, but powers, Ephesians 6, powers and principalities. It says hosts of wickedness. There's lots of them, but let me tell you, there are many more. Angels. God is far, 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 far greater. It's really important that your God is big and your devil small, by the way. A lot of the problems we face sometimes, I think, is because our devil's too big and our God is too small. We have to very much make sure our head is in agreement with the word, which is he is the most high God, okay? But we do have an enemy, and the Lord said, didn't he, don't be unaware of his schemes. Don't be unaware. Live sober and alert. Praise the Lord. Well, it will be quite a short message this morning, but that's all right. Providing we get, I'm going to tell you what you kind of really, I find it helpful when I know what I need to know at the beginning and in the middle and then get reminded of it at the end. Do you know what I mean? So it's, you're going away with like a crucial thing. I don't know if you're like me. I kind of, by the Spirit, I can take it all. My head doesn't necessarily get it all. My head will get a certain amount of it. But by the grace of God, your mind will understand what you need to get. And by the Spirit, because your spirit's alive to God, by the way, heard it this morning, you're going to take everything on the table. And, you know, the Holy Spirit has got an amazing way of reminding you of stuff that you didn't even know you took in at the time. Has anybody experienced that before? Oh, yeah. I heard that on Sunday. But we're going to jump in at the deep end this morning because you can take it. You're designed to. And years ago, I had a prophetic word for this girl. And what I saw was a penguin. I just think pink penguins are the funniest creature. I think they're fantastic, really. Just love everything about them. But anyway, they don't operate so well on the land, do they? You know, they're kind of a bit awkward on the land. And actually, they're, what's that word? Oh, vulnerable. Vulnerable. They're vulnerable to predators on the land. More vulnerable. But when they get in the water, any of you seen these nature documentaries, you see these awkward-looking creatures kind of waddle in and tip over into the water. And then, my gosh, they're like a missile. They just move with such agility and speed, they're incredible. And you know, I think that's very much how it is between flesh and spirit. When we're in the flesh, we have a difficult time. So when we're in the flesh, we're like the penguin on the land, we're kind of just waddling about, just awkward, bumping into things, you know. Not so good. Get us in the spirit, into the water of the spirit. My gosh, you actually learn what you're made for. Let me say that again. The more you come into the things of God and allow the things of God into you, you discover who you are and what you are made for, what your potential is. Because let me tell you, it's great. Every one of us is unique. Every one of us has an amazing God-given potential, but we never see it. We never even realize very much of it at all until we draw near. You know, we're the created, he's the creator. We've got to draw near to him to really see what we're made of and what we're made for. So, anyway, we're going in the deep end. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. I forgot to give my references. I don't know if you can bring them up as I go, but 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. Hopefully you've got your Bibles there at home and are able to turn there as well. We're going to read and start with end times this morning. This is good. And it says this, "But know this, that in the last days perilous or dangerous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, a lot of uns, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." This is an interesting verse to me. "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power." Well, that tells me some of these people are going to be in the church. Ha! Lord, deliver us. "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people, turn away." I like reading scriptures like this. I find it very sobering, and it kind of brings an alertness. Now, I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend to know, where we are on God's timeline in terms of last days. But all I know is Romans 13, and I think it's verse 11, it says, "Awake out of sleep, because your salvation is nearer than when you first believed," right? So even if he doesn't return in our lifetime, one thing is for sure, we will all kick the bucket, as they say, at some point and stand before him. And Romans also says, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account for our lives. My gosh, give account. And the thing is this, I just want to be ready. Do you know what I mean? I want to live today as if I'll meet him tomorrow. And I just want to encourage you. I think, you know, we can fall into this, well, it probably isn't in my lifetime, maybe in my kids, maybe in my kids' kids' lifetime, because he will return one day. But my gosh, we're going to meet him anyway, because we're all going to die physically and we're all going to stand before him and give account. It's a sobering thing. So look, let's live today. I said this last week. Let's live today as if we'll meet him tomorrow. Attitudes that please him. Behavior that pleases him. Because we're not of this world. And I'm going to tell you in a minute what this launch is all about. But if you're born again, God has put his spirit in you. And he has put you in his kingdom. His spirit is in you, and you have been put in his kingdom. So you're a citizen of heaven, you're a member of the body of Christ, and you're also a child of God. I love doing this, and I don't even know if you do. I think some of you not so much, but we can do it anyway, because it's really good to speak the truth. Just say to the person next to you, "I am a child of the kingdom of God." A child of the kingdom of God. And actually, that is the theme, really. We're going to do a series over the next, I don't know, however many weeks, but we're going to do a series on the kingdom of God. Because it's so important that we know what the kingdom of God is and how it operates and who we are and how we are to operate as children in the kingdom of God. And it's really, really, really important we know about the kingdom of God. But you know what's even more important than knowing about the kingdom of God is living conscious we don't belong to this world. We're in it, obviously, wouldn't be here. Physically, here we are. We're in it, but we're not of it. We have different priorities and we have different values. Or we should. That's the whole plan. Because it's a culture thing. Culture is how you think, how you act, how you speak. Our culture should be different to world culture. And so it's just really important. The God of this world is not our God. We're here in church this morning, or you've tuned in online this morning because you worship another God. You know, we worship the God of heaven. We belong to another. We look to another. And actually, we answer to another. And he's not the God of this age. Small g. We answer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who one day will return and bring to himself those who belong to him, those who have chosen him to be Lord and Savior in this life. It's an amazing thing. We all get a lifetime to decide. Some of us have a shorter lifetime than others. None of us know when. But let me tell you, the grace of God, we all get time to choose. And so we're going to do this study on the kingdom. And on Thursday, I said to a couple of you, I just started doing this. I wasn't kind of rotated, in a sense, to be bringing the message this morning. But because PJ is sick, I thank God I started a study early on the kingdom of God. But I had a tremendous time, let me tell you. I was getting revelation and just like, this stuff is far out. It's amazing what the kingdom of God is. His dominion endures through all generations. His kingdom will endure through all generations. It's a kingdom of righteousness, joy, and peace. That one most of us know. But it did me so much good, actually, to start really studying the kingdom, what the kingdom is, and how our own minds need to be so corrected and brought into understanding of what the kingdom is and who we are as members of this kingdom. And anyway, I didn't actually get out of the Old Testament, so we're going to start where I started on Thursday. Turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 19. You know, I just want to tell you this. You will have experienced this, some of you, before. The more I was kind of getting into Scripture and getting Scripture into me, the spirit of faith started to rise. Have you ever? And I tell you, it was an experience. I know faith is, we're not to kind of go pursuing feelings as such. We believe whether we feel it or not. But let me tell you, on Thursday, I had an experience. And it was like the spirit of might. You know, when you read about Samson, when he'd been captured and he knew he was going to die, and he said, "Position me by the pillars of the temple." And he said, "God, anoint me one more time." And he pushed with all his might. Over 3,000 people were killed. More people were killed in his death than in his life. But that same spirit of might is who the Holy Spirit is. And yes, he's gentle like a dove at times. But let me tell you, he can come on us as the spirit of might. And it's like you feel invincible. It's like it's just quite an incredible thing. It is not a human feeling. It's something of, you feel in your emotions, something of God. And let me tell you, it's fantastic. It does you so much good. You're like, bring it on. I'll run against a troop and leap over those walls. It's amazing. And God wants us to have experiences of him. Praise God for what we know as theory. But we have to pursue more than the theory. Because if all you know is the God of theory, let me tell you, you're missing out on so much. Because God is a real living God. And he wants every one of his children to know him. Up close and personal in our experience. But that's a whole other thing. Anyway, Exodus 19 starts with Moses and the people of God at Mount Sinai. It says, "In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they departed from Rephidim and come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain." Oh, I just love this line. "And Moses went up to God." Whatever your name is, she went up to God. He went up to God. Moses went up to God. "And the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, 'Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians." Oh, love this. "And how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Right there, you can see the heart of God to every person, all humanity, to bear you. That thing you're struggling with, the anxieties you have, the trials of your circumstances, he wants to bear you on eagle's wings and draw you to himself. Verse 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. Priests serve. Okay. Don't get your head wrapped around with any kind of traditional religious thinking. Priests serve. If you just keep it there simple. A kingdom of servants, really. Serving God and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people, laid before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. Right. It's really full, these few verses. But if all you get out of this whole session, really, is that you're not of this world, you belong to another kingdom, and you're to serve another king, I tell you, that's like shot and scored. That will be life-changing. We're not of this kingdom. We serve another king. You know, we belong to a different kingdom. So we're going to unpack that, because we need to get understanding of who we are as God's people on earth in 2021. And first thing I want to draw your attention to, Israel, God's people, needed a mediator. This is what really struck me. If you go on to read it in the next few verses, the conversation continues. And Moses is like going up the mountain, hearing stuff coming down the mountain, telling it to the people, hearing what the people say, taking it back to God. And this is going on. I mean, this wasn't on the flat. This is what gets me. And he wasn't young. He was quite old, but he was up and down the mountain, bless him, to bring the word of the Lord to the people. And interestingly, to bring the word of the people to the Lord. Now, I find that sad. Not just for Moses, bless him, but for the people. Think of it. They couldn't talk to God personally. They couldn't even hear God personally. And just imagine that. Imagine you couldn't have. We take, I think, a little bit at least, our relationship with the Lord for granted. We pray sometimes, and we're not even conscious, really, of who it is we're praying to. We just, you know, it's almost like a sigh, a prayer. I'm not, you know, I don't want to condemn anybody, but I think God has to come up in our expectations, but in our estimations. Hang on a minute, I'm talking to the Most High God. There needs to be a bit more reverence returned to all of our lives. But anyway, they couldn't talk and they couldn't listen to God. They had to have a mediator, and at that time, it was Moses. But 1 Timothy 2 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. We have access to this same God who was awesome." Is awesome. But we have access through Jesus, and whoever receives him as Lord and Savior is reconciled, invited into this privileged position, privileged relationship, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and access by faith into his grace. So the way we can access the Almighty One is through our faith in Jesus. We don't need a Moses. We don't need a priest. It's amazing that we can talk to God ourselves. You don't have to find a man of God or a woman of God if you want to talk to God. You can talk to him yourself directly. You know, we should celebrate that. Next time you pray, think about that. We should value the fact that we can have a personal and direct relationship with God ourselves. Anyway, verse 5, moving on. Now, therefore, If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. We sang this morning, you have no rival, you have no equal. But I'm just going to put it to you. I'm sure you've had this thought before, and if you haven't, let me put it to you. Positionally, God has no rival. He is the high King of heaven, always has been, always will be. But he does have rivals in the sense of my flesh and your flesh rivals God every day of the week. My flesh, like your flesh, can sometimes come at him like I'm equal. Get down. Who do you think you are? I say to myself, and you should say to yourself. His voice is superior above all others. You know, when you read the word, as I'm sure you do, most, if not all, we read the word, but what we need to look for and be listening for is the voice. You're reading words, but what we're looking for and what we're seeking after is the voice. Because you know, when you hear his voice, those words jump, they come alive to you. Don't they? I'm sure all of us have had something of that experience at least once or more in our lifetime. And Lord, more of that, please. Because his words are spirit and life. They're more than any human words could ever be. It's not just for information. That's where what I'm wanting to get to. His voice is superior above all others, and he wants to get information to us, and yes, he wants us to understand things, but more than that, he brings his word to us so we come alive on the inside. You know, we're kind of marching to a different beat because we got something different going on the inside. We're not of this world. We're of another kingdom. We serve another king. And we live in an age of information overload. I don't know whether I would anyway, if I'm honest, but I don't kind of go on social media sites. And I think some of it can be really good and some of it can be really not good. But anyway, there's a whole lot of information overload because everybody has an opinion. And everybody wants to voice their opinion. And you can like it. I don't know what it is. Or is it like that? You can like it or you can dislike it. Because it's just their opinion. And you're entitled to a different one. Isn't that right? Because we're equal. That's kind of the culture we live in and the attitude we have. But we cannot afford to have that attitude towards the voice of God. Come on. His opinion is higher than yours. His voice and his thoughts are more important. They're more, he sees wider, he sees further. He knows more than we will ever know. And if we are wise, we will humble ourselves and listen to hear what he's saying. Because God is God. God is God. We're made in his image, not the other way around. You know, and if we bring him down to our level in our thoughts, let me tell you, we see no God activity in our lives because he never moves or works where there's a dishonor. There was a man, a Pharisee, who invited Jesus to his house for a meal. Most of you will know the story. And he sat at the table with God like an equal, debating, discussing with him. And Jesus knew, of course he knew. He knew men's hearts. He knew what he could perceive thoughts, even though they weren't spoken many times. And this man, he didn't wash Jesus' feet. He didn't anoint him with oil, which in that culture was such a dishonor, a disrespect. You would always wash feet and anoint with oil. It was a sign of respect to any guest that came into your home. I don't know if they still do it. Maybe they do. But certainly at that time, that was an absolute dishonor to Jesus. And Jesus knew it, but it's the story where the woman came in, the sinful woman, do you remember? And she wept. She wept on his feet. And she dried his feet with her hair and she anointed him with oil. And this man, this Pharisee, think of it. He said, if he only knew what manner of woman was touching him, he would, you know, have something to say about that and move away. Like, this man, this Pharisee, his opinion of Jesus was, I know what he doesn't know, but he doesn't know. I'm superior to him in my knowledge, in my understanding. He didn't even just think he was equal. He had almost a superiority thing going on. And Jesus knew and understood everything. But you know, it really matters what we do. And it really matters this attitude of heart that we have in all of life. It matters because he sees. And the thing is, when we treat him as God and when we honor him as God, that's when he starts to move. That's when you'll start to see evidence of God at work in your life, in your circumstances, because he is the king. But we need to know he's the king and we need to treat him as king. Grace to the humble. Blessings on the obedient. And I just want to share a quick testimony with you this week, recent testimony. The Lord kept prompting me to do something, and I didn't want to do it. I'll be honest. We've all been in that position, haven't we? Maybe you have this week. But I just kind of kept getting this nudge. And the details of it are, I bought some new glasses, two pairs actually, a pair of sunglasses, a pair of reading glasses. These are them. Very pleased with them. Thank you. And anyway, I was just going through my receipts at the end of the month, and it was weird, you know. I had I think I had 5 receipts in all. It was really just strange to have so many. But as I was going through them, I thought, hang on a minute. I think I've underpaid. I wasn't sure because it was quite confusing because there was deals on and I was getting percentage off. But I thought, I still think I've not paid. And I've got loads of bills coming in at the moment, let me tell you, from the vets. God bless Reg. He is getting better, by the way, but it's expensive. And multiple bills from the vets. And I in a way, you can convince yourself, oh, the Lord's blessing me. You know, oh, that's a blessing from the Lord right there. But this nudge kept happening, and I thought, blimey, I can't get away from it. I want to get away from this. I can't get away from it. Anyway, I phoned... not the vets, that would be odd. I phoned the opticians, and it went on to answer phone. I thought, well, I'm not leaving a message. Down it went. I forgot about it. Nudge kept coming. I phoned again, same thing. Third time. In all honesty, I was really hoping for the answer phone. She picked up. I'm like, rats. Right. Okay. You know, and I just explained. She said, oh, let me look at the accounts. Anyway, it turned out that I had paid for the glasses, and she's looking into the sunglasses and will be getting back to me. But the point is, I did it. I will admit I wasn't necessarily as quick as I should have been, but I did do it. And let me tell you, I had such a joy when I put down the phone. And if it turns out that I have underpaid and I do need to pay, do you know what? I'll rejoice in that. God's my provider. And what matters to me, actually, more is that I live right with him, you know, that I don't lose my consciousness of him or my confidence with him. Because don't we know it, but let me remind you, if you're doing wrong or if you've done wrong, you lose your joy. Joy and peace go out the window, off they go. But not only that, you lose your confidence. When you come to pray, the confidence that was there has been whittled away. Hebrews 10:35, don't cast away your confidence because in it, there's great reward. It's vital. It's vital that you and I can stand before God with nothing in between. He knows it, we know it. Clean slate. And if it isn't clean, we need to repent. But the way we overcome the world is by faith. And we can't have faith when there's stuff going on in our lives that is questionable at best. So if we want God's favor on us, if we want to face our Goliaths with boldness and God's wisdom, we got to keep right with God because we serve another king. We're of another kingdom, the kingdom of righteousness, joy, and peace. And I'm going to finish with verse 6, if you're still in Exodus. He says, this is the Lord speaking, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation set apart. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now, that more or less is repeated in the New Testament. For those of you who kind of like, you know your Bible, it describes the church of Jesus Christ. And we're going to turn there and finish with this. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. It's just a few verses on from where Tony started this morning. It says, so this is describing the church, but you, that's you as an individual and us as a body, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out. You know, if you're born again, and I'm pretty sure most of us, if not all of us in this room, I don't know at home, if you haven't been called out of darkness yet, let me tell you, the call's going on for those who have ears to hear, because God wants every single person to know him, to be called out of darkness, shady, dark. Out of the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom of light to declare his praises. And let me just say this, he's called us out, let's stay out. Don't have anything to do, scripture says, with the works of darkness. Don't even be interested in that stuff. You know, we're not of this world. We have different priorities. We have different values. We serve a different king. We're of another kingdom. Now, we're going to finish. We're going to finish with what? Well, we're going to finish by praying. And we're going to finish by praying, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life. Okay? So, in my body, if you need healing this morning, kingdom of God, come heal. Move out what isn't of you. Any kind of sickness, big or small, serious or not serious, get out in Jesus' name. Okay? To your body and also to your soul. And we're going to pray through that in a minute, but you know, I pray this more and more. God, come to my head. Kingdom thoughts in my head. Your thoughts in my head. Smith Wigglesworth says, if you're not free in the spirit, it's because your head's in the wrong place. You got wrong thoughts in your head, and we need to get the wrong thoughts out. The thoughts of this world, out. Look, I know we need to operate in a natural realm. We can't just sit on a cloud and play a harp. You know, we've got stuff to do, and we've got to live practical lives. You know, there's work to be done, there's bills to pay, and we're encountering non-Christians all the time. But let's do it with a helmet of salvation on. Do you know what I mean? Knowing who we are, knowing we're different. Might look the same, but actually we are different from the inside out. But kingdom of God in my thoughts, kingdom of God in my will. Lord, that I will want what you want. That I'll behave in a way that you want me to behave. And kingdom emotions, actually, in my heart. His heart in my heart. His heart in your heart. It's really important that we think like him. But you know what? It's amazing. He even wants us to feel like he feels. Like when Jesus looked at the crowds, he says they're weary. They got no shepherd. He was filled with compassion. You know, he wants us to get to the stage where we're so in sync with him, walking step by step. Actually, it's the deer, isn't it? Front feet, back feet. He steps there. You go into the exact same place where he was. You know that? The deer's feet, the back feet always follow the front feet. That's why in scripture, these analogies of the deer, it's because the back feet need to follow the front feet. He's the front feet. Lord, make your footsteps my pathway. Let me go exactly where you were. And then the next step, exactly where you were. So in sync with him. We're thinking like he thinks. We're feeling like he feels. His tenderness become yours, you know? His compassion become yours. So you start to see people different. Not so hard, not so harsh, not so judgmental. by the grace and the Spirit of God. So we're going to stand to our feet and we're going to pray this. But I just want to encourage you, let's not make this a token prayer, please, this morning. I find personally, if my prayers don't move me, they don't move God. But if I pray from the heart, let me tell you, it does something on the inside of me and God is drawn. He moves and responds to these kind of prayers. Ash, if you could come forward and just begin to play, that would be great. But, oh, Father, thank you. You are our Father in heaven. You are the God of the Old Testament and you are the God of the New Testament. You are the one who was, who is, and always will be. And one day we will stand before you. And one day we will give account for our lives. But Lord, in this lifetime, help us to serve you well. And Lord, help us not serve you dutifully by the old letter of the law, but let us serve you in the newness of the Spirit, by the Spirit of God, because our hearts have become so engaged, our minds have become so in tune with how you think that we cannot help but live like you and speak like you and be like you in this world. Because Lord, the world needs you. It always has and it always will, but the days do seem to be getting darker. There is this acceleration of terrible things going on, and we, your church, need to shine like we never have, bright like stars, holding out the word of life to this crooked and perverse generation. And so Lord, I say, and if this is your prayer, count me in. I want to be a bright light, not a dim flickering light about to go out. I want to shine bright. I want to be a beacon for you in this world. Seeing different, thinking different, speaking different, not because I should, but because it's your Spirit in me compelling me. And so, Lord, we invite you, Kingdom of God, come to us. Today, 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 this morning, in this meeting, you pray, God, come to my mind. Just pray him into your soul. He's in your spirit, but my gosh, he needs to be in your soul, in my head, in my heart, in my will. Bend. Bend your will for God's sake, for your sake. If you want to see anything of the reality of who this Most High God is, it's time to go low, to bow, to humble yourself before the one who was and is to come, our Almighty God. Just pray. I can't pray this for you. Kingdom of God, pray it, mind, will, and emotions. No one can pray this prayer for you, but what you pray matters. You pray it from the heart, you'll see change. You'll experience change. Your body this morning, reach for him. Reach out to him. You know, Jesus died to forgive our sins, but also that we would have physical healing in this life. And so reach for him. He cried, it's finished, it's been provided for, but we got to reach for it to receive it. And if you need that, just reach by faith this morning. Thank him. Thanksgiving is a sign of faith. Just thank you, Lord, you're at work in my body, driving that thing out. If you've had a diagnosis, let me tell you, the word of the king is higher than the word of the doctor, but you have to exalt it yourself. Your opinion of it matters. Your attitude towards it matters. You can accept it, and let me tell you, there's a lot of pressure to accept a diagnosis, or you can reject it on the grounds of, I'm a child of the king. I belong to a different kingdom. I serve another God, and his word is higher and greater and has more authority and more weight in my life than anybody else. Kingdom of God, come to our bodies this morning. Come to our bodies, Lord. Correct what's wrong. Heal what needs healing. But Lord, come to our souls in a way you never have. You know, we have to give him room. spirit opposes flesh and flesh opposes spirit, and there's not really room for both. There'll be one on the throne in your life. I hope it's him. Every day it matters who's on the throne. Be on the throne today, Lord. And tomorrow, I invite you to be on the throne tomorrow. But you know, it's today that counts. So just pray, Lord, today I exalt you as my God. I exalt you as my Lord. I exalt you as the one who gets the final say in my life, directs my feet, tells me what to do, how to do it, when to do it. Yes, sir, you're the boss. I salute you. You're my Lord. And I'm happy about that. Happy are those whose God is the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Right, we're going to pray. Kingdom of God, come through us now this week. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. But you know what? We've prayed his thoughts into our head, his way into our lives. And now let's pray. Flow out. Whoever we meet this week, whoever you work with, whoever chance encounters you might have, even with strangers, that something of Jesus is going to flow through you to them. Somehow, as they encounter you, see your smile, have a little bit of conversation with you, something of Jesus is going to get imparted. So just pray, Kingdom of God, come through me this week. In whatever way you will, Lord, I'm ready. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll pray what you want me to pray. I'll stop. I'll even inconvenience myself. Whatever you want me to do, Jesus, here I am. Here I am. That's the cry going through every generation, and that's what he wants to hear. Here I am. Send me. Send me. Send me. Thank you, Jesus. You qualify us. You make us sufficient. We often don't know what to do or what to say, and we feel all a bit awkward. Oh, but Lord, you give us what we need. Come, Lord Jesus, be glorified through our lives. Just pray that if it's your prayer. Be glorified through me this week, Lord. Be glorified, be glorified, be lifted up, be exalted, be seen and visible through my life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We want to thank you. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy, set apart nation, your own special people to proclaim your praise.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.